Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 per hour plus a $175 weekly bonus for some shifts. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
He's also got Mandaloon. That's who I'm taking to win. Mandaloon.
Might want to jump off because that's who I'm taking to.
Oh, no.
Well, there goes your bet.
Thank you for telling me.
Yeah.
Thank you for telling me. Honestly, I figured. Because you're tragic in some of these. You're losing.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Hey, 4 o'clock hour here, hanging out with you on ESPN 680 105.7. 4 o'clock hour presented by Lou City. Louisville City FC back in action on Saturday, hosting Birmingham. Pre-game coverage with your boy Jeff Greer and Casey Whitfield. 7:15. Catch it right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7, the app and everything else. And this weekend we have the ability, so we will go ahead and simulcast that on 93.9. So love the partnership there. And I think I lost a bet. Boy, I've been on a losing streak too, Mitch. I've been like you, baseball bets. The only thing I've been winning is Yankees bets. That's it. I mean, everything else.
The Phillies last night killed me. It's one of those games that maybe, you know.
And he got cheated.
Yeah.
He got cheated.
I think he did get cheated a little bit.
I mean, the ball went, and people don't, you know what? People don't care. There was a home run that they called
Check out the V-Show podcast.
It was a home run. It was a damn home run. So we have that going on. The Reds are back in action coming up tomorrow. White Sox and Reds, you can catch that one at 6:10. First pitch there at 6:40. Okay. Gunter Brewer, again, was on Drew's show this morning, and they talked about where guys went and everything in the draft. I want to get to that. I definitely want to get to you and Mitch, your thoughts on, Tutu Atwell in the second round. That's a very good thing for him. Dez Fitzpatrick in the fourth round, thinking both of those guys went to nice places. Javian Hawkins not being drafted is surprising. I'm not totally surprised because of the position, maybe the size as well. Save all of that for the mixtape. But anyway, Javian Hawkins not drafted. Obviously, Jamin Davis going. Kentucky having six players. Kentucky bragging about having six players drafted. More wins than they got last year. When at some point, I'm sure Kentucky fans would love if maybe the results could be there. I put this out on Sunday, and I felt this on, you know, being at Churchill Downs earlier in the week, the masking was rather prevalent, and I saw some people not doing it. I thought, damn, why are these people not doing it, right? Like, you're standing in line or whatever, you're like, okay. And then watching the television coverage on Friday and Saturday, I could not help but laugh, and I told Mitch this during the break. It's like, you know, locally here, Kentucky as a state has been as conservative as many other ones, right? I mean, you think of, New York City going on lockdown, and you think of the state of California, and I'm sure there are others, okay? I'm trying to just erase parts of the last, 15 months or whatever. And I'm watching throngs of people, and some of it's inside and some of it's outside, and it's people on top of people. And there was like 5% masking. And I want to be clear for a second. Mitch, can you turn your mic off? Sorry, it's just the feedback. It's fine. It is what it is. There's nothing you can do. I'm sorry. The mic reverberates. I'm sorry. It's in my ears. You can save that for the mixtape. But I'm watching, and like, I don't care. If I would have been there, I would not have had a mask on the entire time. There's no doubt about it. Especially it gets hotter in the day and you're drinking a little bit. Suddenly you roast a heater, right, Mitch? You crush a Black and Mild in the paddock and you take the mask off. And maybe you leave the mask off. Maybe you drop the mask, okay? So this, to me, is not a Churchill Downs thing at all. They did a great job, again, putting on a spectacle, one that was rated very high TV-wise. We had a ton of feedback here. You know, I mean, we said, what, 13, 14, 15 hours of coverage on Saturday and leading up all week. And the Derby itself accommodating what we were able to. It was our fault we didn't broadcast well out there on Tuesday. And so, I mean, they had people hired to make sure that Mass won. There was nothing you were going to be able to do, okay? And so I put out a couple tweets on, I see no way that we now go backwards. I mean, like, I know it was the Derby, and I know that's not all local. But you can't have this. I mean, this is what people know Kentucky for, besides basketball, right? In bourbon. It's the Derby. The Derby is number one and has been that for more than a century. It's the Kentucky Derby. And you have this magnificent day over a two-day period over the weekend, and you're on TV and nobody's wearing a mask. And I'm like, we're not going backwards now. I have been very forceful. I want to be clear. I don't like, in fact, I despise it. In fact, I'll go a step further. The people that have made it political are dregs to society in many different ways. It's like the Ted Cruzes. And I'm sure there's someone on the left who's a jackass about all of this. The things, because we get vaccinated 900 times, that we all still need to be staying 100 feet from each other in our homes with nine masks on, even though we've got Moderna twice shot into our veins, right? It's silly. And it's become that, and I despise that, because, like, there's no way you're going to sell anything other than 100% to me come September when these two schools get going. There's not! On the football side, is there? I mean, maybe 75, because I can hear the snickering that Kentucky and Louisville, especially some of these non-conference games, right? That Kentucky and Louisville, if Louisville loses by, you know, four touchdowns to Ole Miss, people aren't going to be clamoring to get back in the seats for Central Florida. And that's going to be a
full game against
stadium.
Ole Miss is going to be 100% capacity.
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, that's one side of all of this. But I just have this burning within me that what I want, and I think I know why Beshear, and by the way, Mitch, if we can watch Twitter, he is having a press conference today. This is my thought, that Beshear's trying to get as many people vaccinated before he knows that he's going to have to open things up. And he's limping it as long as he can, whether it be days, weeks, another month. That is my uneducated guess. If he tells people, I'm going to open up fully June 1st, you're going to have less people. Common sense tells you, right? You would have less people go out and get vaccinated because they're like, well, I don't have to. We're going to be opening on June 1st anyway. That's my opinion. So maybe today, maybe at some point in the future, whatever it may be, I would imagine he's going to make the move. He's going to be forced to make the move and whatever it is. But I said it last week. It's burning inside me that like now, and even this weekend, when I saw the greatness that was the Kentucky Derby, I think of all the other things we're not allowed to do with a mask on, like Lou City. Like the Bats. Like Thunder over Louisville. Right? I mean, these are all, and again, it's great that the Derby looked the way that it did. This is I can't say referendum. Oh, I just kind of nailed it there. On the Derby and Churchill Downs, it's on everything else. It's on everything else. If people don't want to go out, they don't have to go out. If people want to wear masks, they can wear a mask. If a business in Louisville decides, hey, we are going to have social distancing, we're not going to have all the tables or bar stools or whatever, we're not going to allow X amount of people in our shop, great. I know people that are still doing that. I know business owners that are still doing that in Indiana, and they don't have to. They don't have to. That's fine. That's fine. Let businesses choose what they want to do. But it's done. And he knows it's done. And you're not going to bring people back after letting the biggest party with over 50,000 people out there be very nationally televised. Everyone's watching it locally. And say, well, you know, now go. I mean, like, Lou City should be able to put a higher number than they have right now. Period. Period. End of discussion. And they do mask. And they are hardcore about it, if you will. You pull your mask off at a Lou City game for a little while, Mitch. You ever go? Now, you got your big wedding this weekend. I almost forgot. On Saturday.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, I went to the Reds game. It was the same thing. You check in between innings. If you didn't have your mask on, he came and politely told you, hey.
Again,
put it.
I'm sucking up to Churchill Downs here. It ain't on them to control a bunch of people who are partying in the heat that, hey, you got to put your mask on. There was, if you went to the Kentucky Derby, you went knowing that you were going to take a quote-unquote risk, if you will. I have been very, I don't know if complimentary is the word. I have understood what Bashir, even though I have not agreed with everything, I have at least, it's made sense to me. The logic adds up, if you will, about what he has tried to do. But I don't know if we're never going to get to his number of 2.5 million. I mean, the experts are like, it's going to be well into, I mean, pretty much the football season. You're telling me you're going to nuke another summer. And I know I sound selfish, but I go back to what I said. Last week. And that is, I mean, I really feel if you are someone who is over at least 45, if not 40, and you haven't at least started the vaccination process, there's nothing that I'm going to say that Scott Satterfield, if he runs a promo, or John Calipari, I mean, come on, you're not going to, it's like, it's a personal choice, and there's going to be a group of people that don't do it. And there's going to be a group of people that do it. And then there's this group that, like, get one of the shots and not the second one, which makes absolutely no sense to me.
Those people concern me. Like, because if you're, like, iffy on the vaccine, why would you just get one and not both?
Yeah. Yeah, that would be the last thing I would do, right? And so I am very strong on the opinion that now is time that people know of what the governor is thinking in some of this. And I know that's not going to align, because when he tells you more information and gives you more information, there's going to be less people that get vaccinated. What I would say is, at this point, if you haven't made the move, I don't know if you're going to get vaccinated. And that's a you thing, but listen, people say, well, you know, they don't get vaccinated. And I don't want to get too much into this, but it's going to affect sports. And it doesn't need to come football time in September. It doesn't need to as we go forward. I mean, how in the bleep is anyone going to walk into Lynn Family Stadium in a half-empty stadium? 10 feet. I mean, some places, Mitch, 10 feet between people, okay? And have hardcore masking when Kentucky is literally the face of not masking right now. They are the sports face of not masking. What?
Them in Alabama.
I mean, yes. And it is. It's funny. You're not going to go back. Sorry. You're not going to go back. You're not. No, it's not. It's not going to work. And so, I mean, there needs to be, in my estimation, a plan on what are we going to do here. And that's just how I feel. So there you go, Mitch. Was that okay with you? Was that okay? That wasn't too hot takey, right?
No, I mean,
businesses get to choose. If you want to,
I think it's the most simplest solution ever. Is just let businesses decide what they want to do. Because I feel like we're at that point almost. Like that bridge of we're almost to the end, and we're way further away from where we were, you know, a few months ago, like in January, when COVID was running rampant around here. But I agree. I got my second shot yesterday. I got the vaccine because I'm just ready for this bleep to be over with. If that's me,
and you did your part,
yeah,
which is what we've done. That,
if that's me bending the knee to the governor, that's me bending the knee to the governor.
See, I don't look at it that way. I mean, maybe that is what's going on.
We're not going to hit. I'm with you. We're not going to hit this number. I checked this morning. Actually,
he's got a choice. Is he going to blame the people and say you got to do better? I gave you a number. Do better.
Yeah,
I mean that's a strong ass political move.
It is.
I don't think it would be a good one. I think you probably understand your constituents. I don't know. And if that they say, okay, there's urban areas and then there's country areas that aren't educated on the vaccine. They can't get the vaccine as easy. Maybe there's transportation issues. Fine, let's figure out a way to get it to them. Tell us. That's what you're doing. Texas says, duh, most simplest.
I know. I just, it's whatever.
Texas says, anybody that thinks wearing a mask is such a big deal has a damn easy life. Well, no, I'm telling you, after this weekend, it's not a big deal. It was proven. It's not a big deal. And it's not the mask. I don't have problem. If they came out and said, we're going to be open, but there's going to be masking, when you walk into a place, you know what I'm saying? Like, if the rules are easy, I'm fine with that. I went to a place this weekend, again, in Indiana, that did not have to, that does not have to mask, that does not have to practice any social distancing, and they do. And they do. And if someone wants to not go to their business because they don't want to wear a mask, baby, that's fine, man. I mean, do you, man? Like, I ain't hating on it. Texas says, if you think Bashir is going to feel any need to end any of his restrictions anytime soon, the last year says otherwise, the mask mandate will still be in effect this time next year. That's not my point. My point isn't the mask. My point is things being open. That's my point. It should not be.
I mean, I'm with the mask. If we're still wearing masks, listen, a year from now.
I'm not. But listen, that's not my argument. I'm with you. And it's silly to say that this time next year we will be. I think that is silly. That's not my point. My point is with things being open. I'm going to name the establishment. There's a bar in Louisville, it's a brewery, that is very, you know, they're adhering to the rules. I don't want to say they're strict. They're adhering to the rules. Mitch, I can sit back to back with you. I can sit pretty much close to you with no mask on. Let's act like we don't know each other. But if I get up to go to the bathroom, I have to. I have to wear a mask. Of course it's silly. But you know what? I frequent that place, and I abide by the rules because I'm not a jackass. Texas says the show's been trashed today. Well, I mean, Streeble's not here. I don't know what to tell you. Texas says, both Kentucky and Indiana Department of Health are begging people to take the vaccine before they expire. Oh, it's not even that. They're throwing away thousands a day. They're throwing away thousands a day. Texas says, I tuned in for a respite. Yeah, a respite, but I'm also doing, I'm also backing sports and the meatheads. Most
right.
of the time, I'm backing sports. Listen, I don't think it matters at all if Kentucky and Louisville have 100% football. Let me be abundantly clear.
They should do 75%, well, and because
it will save it will save the coaches' asses for the for part of the stadium being not full. I don't think we usually have to worry about 75% or 80%. I think that would be the case. My point is, let's do it now. We just did it. We just had people on top of each other on national TV, and it was fun. 437-9680. So there you go. Texas says, Texas, I'm not going to read that one. Texas says, the show is so much better without Streeble. What's the guy talking about? Texas says, look back and the broadcasters weren't wearing masks. Well, that's fine. A lot of those, I don't know who, I don't care who was wearing a mask. Masking is not my issue. That's not my point. My point is stuff being open. My point is, if I sit next to someone that I don't know, but I'm sitting next to someone, I don't have to wear a mask. But if I get up to go to the bathroom, I do have to wear a mask.
Or if you're outside and there's under 1,000 people, you don't have to wear a mask. But as soon as it turns to 1,001, you have to wear a mask.
Well, no, you don't. Not after this weekend,
no.
You don't. Not after this weekend, bro. My guess was, is that Bashir did that? Just a guess. Because that was, you know, that like the rule of the state, knowing how it would look on television. Texas says, out Sweeney the coverage. I don't sound that way, do I? Come on. Texas says, between Derby Day and yesterday, I won $3,000 on horses. Oh, God bless you, Samson.
I just, those type of people just make me so irrationally angry.
Did you hear, I apologize.
Furniture John.
Furniture John's
yes,
story.
That,
his son's brother had a pick three.
I don't think you understand. That kills me inside.
Oh, no. If you want a $75,000 bet, I would expect you to, like, consider quitting the next day. Like, I would.
Like, all these people, like, just made money on Derby, yeah. And I'm sitting here
well,
with...
Dieter did well.
We can get into my betting whenever you want to get into my betting.
Oh, it was
tragic. It was... I didn't listen to any advice. I mean, people were giving out free picks on Twitter, and, like, Matty Bangs hit a freaking trifecta box that paid out $800.
Matty Bangs hit an $800 trifecta box? You didn't take that?
No.
Well, I can understand. You never take it. I mean, that'd be a great thing if you did. Why don't you take any advice, especially in horse racing where you know nothing?
I do take some people's advice, but I was so kicked down before Derby. I was like, bleep this. I'm going to play 12 different plays to where I hit something. Because I didn't hit a race all damn Saturday. Not a single
Mitch.
One.
Mitch.
And so I was like, last hurrah. $50 in the Twin Spires account.
Oh, man.
We'll spread it out on all these different horses. And I was like, as long as I just make the $50 back, I don't care. Like, anything. I just want to hit something. And the one thing I had that had Medina Spirit winning, I had Medina Spirit winning. I had Mandaloon finishing second in a trifecta. And in third, I had the one horse, Known Agenda. And that horse finished, like, seventh. And that was it.
But you don't know the horses. You don't know the bloodlines. You only know Chad Brown and Bob Baffert. Like, you don't know anything.
No, I placed all those 12 bets. I placed 12 bets. I was like, all right, I gotta hit something. And they're doing like the pre-Derby coverage of introducing the horses. And they're like, here comes Medina Spirit, trained by 6-time Kentucky Derby winner Bob Baffert.
Oh.
And also jockey is John Velasquez, the 3-time Derby winner. The most Derby winners in training
and
horse racing.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm sitting there, I'm like, huh. I was like, if I lose to this horse, I'm going to kick myself in the nuts.
Oh, man. And you did.
I was like, this horse, like, it's so simple. It's like betting Brady and the Patriots in the playoffs. Like, it should be so simple. And I didn't bet it.
And that's what you get. Texas says the show's been better without Cerebral. Texas says the show needs cream today. Oh, he's hanging around. Texas says Andy's going to be doing a podcast soon with Candace Owens. Does Mitch, do you have any idea who Candace Owens is?
Yeah, she's the, I can't remember what her official. I know she's a Republican.
That's enough. That's it. That's all you need. There you go. Texas says we'll spread it out on these horses.
Yes, that's what I did.
Texas says, did you play the horse cappers picks this weekend? You didn't play anyone's.
I played a few people's, and then it was just a mess. It was just a mess Saturday.
Texas says, today sucks. I want to crush Round Eddie, but I can't, and I can't even joke about not being able to crush him. Yeah, that's pretty much right.
You can crush him tomorrow. I crushed him all weekend.
Yes, you did. Supposedly he's going to be back tomorrow. Big Rig knows he ain't happy about Kentucky's roster, by the way. I mean, he's upset. I mean, he should be upset, by the way. He's upset, and he should be upset. A few other things I want to get to here. 437-9680. We have Ari. It's Ari, right?
Yes, like okay. Ari Gold.
Like Ari Gold, your guy. We have to get in some NFL draft stuff. I mean, you like where Tutu and Dez went, I assume, right?
Oh, yeah. I think
there
great.
You go.
Great situations for both of them. And I like where the Kentucky guys went, too. I mean, Rummage having to root for Boss Man Fat just made my weekend.
Did you love Rummage? Great pick. Great pick. I'm like, I know there's slander
no,
against
there,
Boss Man Fat.
There is.
Right?
This
you
is
know
somewhere.
There is. You know there is. We have weeks and we have months of that this past year. But, I mean, there's no way. That'd be something if we had the staff. I'd love to to catalog all of that. I'd love it because I know all the praising that Jared West got. And now Jared West, he's not good enough. Mitch, he's not good enough. He's not good enough. We need more. We need a dynamic player. He's not good enough. I'm like, wait a minute. I was castrated. I'll say it wrong again on the air for you know, thinking maybe he wasn't a starter in the ACC. Texas says Andy's a lib. There we go. Texas says, keep fighting the good fight, guys. We need more people speaking out about this. The more, the better. I think I'm very level-headed. I'm not touching the mask. I'm saying open everything up. We can do a little bit more social distancing, but open things up a lot more as we go into the summer here. And it needs to happen, and it needs to happen because it just happened. We've seen it happen. Now let's open things up. I'm not touching the mask stuff, but I do think businesses need to be able to operate at a higher clip. I am very bullish on that. It's been 15 months. Everyone has done businesses. Local businesses have done their job. They have taken it for the team over and over again. They have put restrictions that have lost them money, and they continue to do so in Louisville, and it can just it can be better. And after this weekend, when you saw everyone else doing it, it absolutely has to. Ari Wasserman's going to join us. We'll talk some college football next.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Anna said that Dez Fitzpatrick is jacked.
Oh, that he's got the muscles going
says
on.
Says he looks like T.O.
Terrell Owens?
Says he looks like T.O.
Oh, come on, Mark.
Says his body's like T.O.
Maybe his body's like T.O., but...
he's got a T.O.-like body.
Is his talent like T.O.?
Well, I mean... Thank you for that.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
All right, I'm seeing on Twitter, but I'm trying to confirm on Twitter that Chin Coleman has told Illinois that he does plan on leaving and going to Kentucky. I'm seeing the Sea of Blue article. There you go. There you go, Round Daddy and Markham. So, yes, Cat's Paws is reporting that Kentucky basketball is on the verge of landing Chin Coleman, and I would imagine that would be Orlando Antigua and Chin Coleman. That will give us content as we go this week because that will be a big deal, and if there's anyone who needs an immediate pickup, it's John Calipari. Not only his staff, but the recruiting, they're a mess. We'll talk about that more as we go. Well, let's get Ari Wasserman in here. Excited to talk with him. He's from The Athletic and College Football Insider. Been following his work for quite a while. Ari, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, we're making it. We're all recovering in the city from the Kentucky Derby on Saturday. I know. I'm sure you didn't watch the Kentucky Derby, but we're all in a day number two hangover. Ari, that's what's going on right now for us.
Listen, man, I went to the Kentucky Derby when I lived in Columbus, Ohio, like six years in a row, and I could barely walk after all those trips. I get it, man.
Yes, that's how we're all feeling right now. And there's only 50,000 people there, so you know everything was all inclusive. So if you got a ticket, you got all the drinks you want. You just walked up, said, "I want a Miller Lite, I want a bourbon on the rocks, whatever." Boom, it's right there. I didn't go, but the people that did, it was absolutely fantastic. Okay, so I want to get into a number of things with you. Kentucky, Louisville draft. We got a bunch of things to get to. National storylines, no doubt. But looking at not only your work on The Athletic, but your Twitter feed, here's what I immediately loved that I tried to tell the fans in this area. That stars do matter, and so do recruiting rankings. So I want to thank you for that. And if you can't talk about that, I guess, with what we saw this weekend, the good players coming out of high school, going to big programs, they also got drafted really high in the draft.
I mean, I don't want to be condescending, so don't take this the wrong way. But are there actually still people out there? I mean, I guess I know that there are, but people out there that don't think that having the best players is the most important thing to winning the most?
Listen, I fight it. I'm fighting it right here with Louisville football recruiting. Yep.
Yeah.
You're talking to them.
The two teams that recruit the best played for the national championship. The two teams recruit the best had the most draft picks, and the teams that recruit the best continually put themselves in a position to compete at the highest level every year. There's a direct correlation between the amount of good players that you get and how good your football team is. So if you don't want to admit that or you don't want to see the light, it's not even a debate. It's a fact. So, you know, I understand that when you start trying to break down middle-tier programs and put them in a position where you're comparing to programs like Alabama and Ohio State, they don't want to hear that because it's hard to acknowledge the fact that they're not going to be competitive with those teams in the grand scheme of trying to win a national championship. And, of course, through development and through top-level ability to scout and evaluate high school prospects, you can build a very good football program. But the fact of the matter is that I don't care how good of a team or how good of a job you are. If your roster is full with three-star prospects, you're going to meet a team that's filled with five-star prospects at the end of the road, and you're going to get your butt kicked. And that's just the way that the sport is worked out. And I'm not even saying that you can't, you know, manage an upset every now and then. It's a weird sport. Things happen. But at the end of the line, there's going to be a mega team with first-round draft picks all over the place that's going to beat you. And until you can accept that about the sport, I mean, I don't know. Listen, here's the stat I'll tell people, and I don't want to rant about this because I get fired up, but here's the stat. Only three teams since the recruiting rankings began have won a national championship in college football without signing a top 10 class in the previous 4 years. And those three teams were Clemson twice with Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence, and Auburn once with Cam Newton. So, You know, I guess people in Louisville have a nice taste of that because Lamar Jackson, was my opinion, is the greatest college football player of all time.
Yeah.
They were really, really good when they had him. But the only chance that you have to win a national championship without recruiting a top 10 class is having a megastar talent, and even then that's usually not enough. So it's an infallible thing. Best players coming in are the best players going out most of the time. Teams with the best players win the most, and that's why it's the same five or six teams in the mix every year.
Ari Wasserman with us from The Athletic. It's The Take on this Monday. Big 12 not having a first rounder. I guess what do you make of that from a college football guy, that not happening? Obviously, Texas, Oklahoma, they would, you know, a lot of times have to provide it, but what did you make of the Big 12 not having anyone in round number one?
Do you guys, like, realize that if you were to put the best player at every position from the Big 12 on a field with Alabama, they would be underdogs? Think about that.
Yeah.
One team has six first-round picks, and the other conference has zero. It's insane. And the problem with recruiting is that the players that are coming out of high school care about one thing the most, and that is to compete for and potentially put themselves in a position to be a first-round draft pick one day. Obviously, pageantry and where the school is located and what educational programs you have and how nice the facilities are and how cool the uniforms are and all the things that go into recruiting matter. But the only thing that really, truly matters and is going to be the deciding factor at the end of the day is how well you're going to prepare that kid to be a National Football League player and potentially a first rounder. So when these kids who are highest rated are getting offers from Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State, all the other teams that are in the mix are going to be secondary because they don't have the resumes of putting players in the league as often and as easily as they have at those other programs. Mm-hmm. And what's happened here is it's a self-fulfilling prophecy because it's easiest to develop a five-star athlete into a first-round draft pick because they're the best, most gifted, most advanced players coming out of high school. So, of course, they're going to have a leg up in the race to becoming the first-round pick. That's why there's 3,000 three-stars every year and 35 five-stars, but seven of the first 12 picks in the draft were top 100 players because that's the way it works. So when these programs who get the best players produce the most picks, then get the best players as a result of that, it's a circle, and it's hard to break in through that.
Yeah, that's what we talk here with Kentucky basketball until maybe the last couple years. I mean, really, that's been it. Kentucky basketball, they bring guys in. They're here for a year or two. You know, Cal sends 30-some-odd, 40 guys almost to the NBA in a little over a decade. And the best players see that in high school, and they become Kentucky Wildcats. They go to the pro, and the circle continues to go. Quarterback Ari Wasserman with us from The Athletic. Quarterbacks, Justin Fields, how do you think he'll do in the pros?
I think he'll be very good. Frankly am shocked that he wasn't the second quarterback off the board. And, you know, I guess if you're what are you guys, 3 hours away from Columbus, so you guys have a pretty good idea
of
just what kind of talent that kid is. And, you know, I'm not saying that Zach Wilson and Trey Lance and those guys aren't going to also be good players. Frankly, all of them are probably going to be very good. But in terms of intangibles, physical acumen, smarts, toughness, leadership, I've never seen somebody throw the ball as accurately as he did and also be as good of a runner as he is. He's got the right prototypical size. He's everything that you would want in an NFL quarterback, especially in a prospect. And, you know, I just am pretty frankly shocked by the way that he was nagged completely through the draft process and then ultimately fell to number 12 or wherever he was picked. And, you know, I think he's going to be a phenomenal player, and the Bears got a really nice franchise quarterback.
I agree. I thought he might even go later. I thought him going 12 was great for him, right? And a team that wanted him, right? It wasn't, well, you know, you're at the back end of the first round. There's a lot of value there. You know, we'll see what happens with the Bears. They're kind of a mess, but, you know, I thought they valued him, and I thought he went a little bit sooner because, like you say, he's been knocked in the entire draft process. Where do you come down on the Mac Jones debate?
I don't know. I'm like a really, like, I don't know if I'm the right person to completely answer that question, because the reason why is these NFL draft evaluators and these scouts and these general managers are spending hours and hours and hours watching these kids film, breaking them down, the footwork, their ability to throw the ball, their accuracy, their leadership, everything that you can break down from a recruiting standpoint and a physical standpoint. These guys have completely uncovered. And if there's a certain thing about Mac Jones, about the way he throws the football, if he gets it out 1/10 of a second faster, if he's got better footwork, all the things that go over most people's heads,
right?
You know, that's up for them to decide. I was frankly shocked when people said he was going 3 to San Francisco. I know that he had a very good completion percentage. He won a national championship to kick Ohio State's butt in the national championship, but he played on a team where there was very little resistance in any regard for him, you know, at that point. So, you know, I think that would be something that I would take into account, and I think that he was accurately drafted. Now, that doesn't mean he's not a very good player.
Right.
But I think that when you play in Alabama's offense, and Justin Fields the same degree a little bit with the talent around him, you know, is kind of in that same boat. So the difference between Mac Jones and Justin Fields is that Justin Fields is physically capable of doing things that Mac Jones couldn't do in a million years. And that's kind of the way that I view it. So, you know, in the right system with the right coach, I mean, we're talking about the Patriots here. Maybe the guy will be an All-Pro for the next 10 years and be the next Tom Brady for all we know. But as a pure NFL prospect is concerned, with what I saw with my two eyes is that he wasn't as good as the other four. Now, you know, with every year that goes by and the more technology that we get, the more further and further away we drift away from analyzing film. But anybody with eyes who watched the sport last year, tell me who you want on your team.
Yeah,
of those five. You know, Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields are the two, right? I mean, from what I saw on TV and in person every single week, those were the guys that I would want on my team.
Yeah, and I guess I'm a New York Giants fan, but I guess I'm going to trust Shanahan with Trey Lance. Like, I guess I'll trust him. Like, he seems to know a lot about quarterbacks, so I guess we'll trust him. I haven't seen him much of North Dakota State. One or two college football items before we get Ari Wasserman out of here. Just quickly, though, you're a guy that's, you know, followed the college game, obviously, and him. How do you think Herb does making the transition to the NFL? He has a nice roster, and he's got a Trevor Lawrence, obviously, to start with. Not too bad.
Well, I know one thing, knowing Urban for the past, you know, 10 years, kind of covered him. I knew that he wasn't going to take an NFL job until the right opportunity presented itself. And when you have the number one pick, and that number one pick is Trevor Lawrence, I think that's a pretty good start. Excuse me, sorry, I had a tickle in my throat. And you take that opportunity, right? And You know, how is he going to do is a really hard thing to really predict, because college coaches and motivational factors and all the things that we know that Urban Meyer was so great at in college, I don't know how well that'll translate to the NFL. It might translate great. You know, he's a great culture builder. The thing that made Urban Meyer so brilliant as a college coach wasn't his X's and O's ability, or the way that he carried himself on the sidelines and all the things that are very important in the NFL. His thing was building the culture at Ohio State, creating a standard of excellence, and recruiting to that standard consistently. And he won most of his games at Ohio State because every single time he got on the field, his team was much more talented than the other team based on what he built.
Sure.
If you actually go back and you break down Urban Meyer's Ohio State track record, he was probably 500 in games against teams that equal talent. And in the NFL, that's going to be most games. So, you know, there's no talent gap. You don't get the Ohio State versus Indiana matchups in the pros. Every week those guys are really, really good and equally talented. There's no gap there. So it's going to be up to him to hire the right coaches and, you know, to see the game the way that it needs to be seen from the NFL level, to not micromanage, and to be a good GM of a franchise. And if that's what he needs to do, I believe that he has an ability to do that. But anytime a great college coach who has really won most of his games because he was an elite recruiter, I don't know exactly how to predict what will happen in the NFL because they're such different games.
Yeah, it really is. No, I'm interested in it. I think if I'm a Jags fan, I would be excited about it. They bring in Tim Tebow, that'll be funny. I'm sure Twitter will have a good time with that. Ari Wasserman with us. Just quickly, national college football, looking at this offseason, what storylines are you going to be watching? Obviously some big-time quarterbacks like Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence move on. So we'll see what happens with those big-time programs. What sorts of things now do you think will be interesting the next few months as we kind of hit summer and get ready for a college football season?
Well, one, a year ago, I didn't think there would be a season, so that's good, right?
Yeah. Like
the fact that we're past this, hopefully, and, you know, people are getting vaccinated and we're moving in the right direction in terms of, you know, getting people into stadiums and having a season. And right now, man, I know that it sounds cliche, but we can go ahead and pencil in the playoff field this year. It's Ohio State, Alabama, and Clemson, and then whoever else is the fourth. And that's just kind of the way it's going to be until somebody cracks into these recruiting rankings because of how lopsided things are. And, you know, I don't mean to go down this road again, but 66% of the top 100 players in the country last year in the 2021 class signed with five different schools. And then the rest is for everybody else to figure out. What I'm most interested in, I guess I would say, is how this one-time transfer rate waiver is going to impact the, quote-unquote free agency of college football now that these kids can move from school to school. And I'm also curious to see, like, how much more smoke or fire comes out of this playoff expansion discussion, because anytime that we can, you know, discuss how the entire sport is going to shift and how the paradigm of that is going to change based on such a drastic change, I find that to be interesting. Now, as we get closer to July and into the summer months and we start breaking down who's going to be starting where and which programs are going to be good, that's always the really fun. I don't know until we can get a full picture on who's going to be playing where with the transfer stuff,
right?
If it's that easy to do. But I do know one thing for sure. The teams that are built to win at the highest level are going to be the ones that do it again, because they do it every year.
Last one for Ari Wasserman. Kentucky, Louisville. Kentucky's recruiting well right now, but the wins need to follow. That's been my criticism and my take, but they are recruiting well. Louisville, a good first year under Satterfield, a disaster last year, and now they lose their top two wide receivers and Javian Hawkins, their running back. Obviously not one of the, you know, two of the top teams in the country. Any thoughts on Kentucky and Louisville as they get ready for this offseason?
Well, I was actually, right before the pandemic hit, I went to Lexington and I sat in Mark Stoops' office and I wrote a big recruiting feature about, what Kentucky is doing. And I encourage you guys to go sign up to The Athletic and find that. It's called The Big Ten Killer. And I think that Kentucky has done a phenomenal job. And I think that's one of the most competent recruiting staffs in the entire country. Now, you know, whenever we talk about college football, it's a little bit difficult because there's like the context of the national championship race, and then there's the context of all the other teams and what they're doing within their limitations. And, you know, Kentucky's basketball program is kind of on the opposite foot and when it comes to that sport, about being one of the blue bloods, and Kentucky football is not quite there yet. But in terms of the way that they attack Ohio, the way that they're getting second-tier players out of Ohio that Ohio State doesn't have room for as a result of recruiting nationally and the way that they're picking things up in Kentucky and, you know, bouncing back from losing Gavin Wimsatt to Rutgers. I mean, I love what they're building there. And, you know, what they've done there so far has been, frankly, incredible with how competitive that conference is, how they have a different recruiting footprint than the rest of their conference being so north. And, you know, still being a not just a competitive team, but a very tough out every week for some very, very good programs. And, you know, I don't know much of what's going to happen with Mark Stoops' career. I think that he has one of the best jobs in college football because the expectations aren't that high.
I agree.
But also gets paid quite a bit and has a huge buyout.
And they pay for assistance. Vince Merrill wants a raise. He gets one.
Yeah, and they also have a beautiful, beautiful facility that not a lot of schools have. Like, it's a great place to be. But if I were a athletic director at another program, like Michigan or something like that, I'd back the Brinks truck on that guy's front lawn right now. Wow. I think he's a phenomenal coach.
Wow, that's strong stuff. Ari, appreciate the time. Take care. We'll keep reading you there at The Athletic and on Twitter, and we'll catch up down the road as we get into, you know, summer radio and we wait around for the college football season. Appreciate the time.
Anytime you guys need me, I'm here, okay?
All right, thank you. Ari Wasserman with us here from The Athletic. Good stuff there. Strong stuff. I happen to agree. You know, the only crazy thing, and I was gonna make this point. I'm stunned that Clemson the last 2 years has only had 12 guys drafted. Because Alabama is 19. Yeah, Ohio State
six guys
20.
In the first round. This draft was insane.
Yeah,
like insanity.
Yeah. So I'm surprised by that. Like, I'll give you a great, for instance, Kentucky had six players this year, and Kentucky put out the stat. You know, here's where we ranked in the SEC and everything. And by the way, I understand, okay?
We have more draft picks than Texas,
Yeah, Louisville
Oklahoma.
Would have done the exact same thing. Kentucky also had two last year.
Yeah.
I mean, they went 5-6.
You know who had one guy drafted this NFL draft?
Murray State.
No.
No, who?
Indiana. How about that great Indiana team? Gets one guy drafted.
Oh, wow.
In the fifth, sixth, seventh round.
It wasn't Stevie Scott either. I think he got picked up.
Yeah, he was undrafted. Just
Green
like
hasn't
Hawkins.
Said anything around here today about the NFL draft.
No, it hasn't been up chestiness. I haven't heard any chestiness up there in Bloomington.
What I agree with him is Mark Stoops does such a good job that it's tough to come after him. Oh, look at there's Grossman. There he is right there. There he is. There's Grossman wanting to get on the mic. No, you got nobody. No one. Indiana football's dead. There it is. It's dead. By the way, Crean's going to be up there this weekend. He's going to be up in B-Town for like 4 or 5 days. Can't believe you're going to your graduation. In Indiana, be 40,000 people there. We got to talk to Louis Rabeau. What are we doing? You want to take a quick break? What do we need to do? Just short break? All right, short break, Louis Rabeau. Who the hell's Louis Rabeau?
Bet Rivers Sportsbook has supercharged its iOS app. Download the update today from the Apple App Store and see the difference for yourself. Must be 21 or over to play. Playable only in Indiana. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.